This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. She's the author of the best-selling series called The Hollows, set here in Cincinnati. Author Kim Harrison is here in the studio with me today to talk about the newest installment in the adventures of Rachel Morgan. It's called The Undead Pool, and it's available where books are sold right now. Welcome again to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
For the readers who have not delved into The Hollows yet, please set the stage for us about how The Hollows are set here in Cincinnati and exactly what this world is that you've created.
Okay, now I'm laughing because it sounds so improbable. Take a genetically modified tomato spreading a plague across the United States and the world that wipes out a quarter of the world's human population, that causes the witches, the vampires, and whatnot who've been in hiding to come out of the closet, so to speak, to save humanity. And you might be close to what's going on in The Hollows. Fast forward 40 years, and we've got cell phones and computers and demons and witches and pixies.
And in the midst of it all is a woman we've come to know as a demon witch,
yes.
Rachel Morgan, who is your main character, who, well, we know in the previous installment, Ever After, knows how to wreak havoc in both worlds,
yes.
Both the Ever After world of these supernatural creatures and right here in Cincinnati as well. And it doesn't stop in your new book, The Undead Pool.
No. In this one, we have elven magic rears its head and starts to backfire. And it's following her around through Cincinnati and across the river in The Hollows. And as soon as she figures out that it's following her, she has to take care of it, of course.
Well, distinguish there in the book, in the setting, because I'm trying to introduce it to some folks who may not be familiar with it and maybe reintroduce it to some folks who are. You talk about The Hollows on the other side of the river and Cincinnati. So how, in your mind, have you separated these worlds?
Well, the Ohio River runs through it.
Right down the middle.
Yeah,
right?
Cincinnati is where most of the humans live, and The Hollows is kind of a suburb. It's across the river in what would be Covington or Newport, and that's where the witches and the vampires tend to, the lower class witches and vampires tend to make their homes, because the upper class are there over in Cincinnati where the humans are. I mean, the pickings are better over there, right?
Right. I've asked you before, but please share again. Why Cincinnati?
Why Cincinnati? You know, I tell people that it's set in Cincinnati, and I get eye rolls occasionally because Cincinnati, pick something exciting like Washington or Boston
or
L.A. Because, you know, vampires in L.A. go hand in hand. But I thought Cincinnati would be great. It's right. It's at the latitude where I could talk about the seasons, which is important to me. You've got the right size, the population, so that you've got public transport, but you still get around by car. Because I'm a car girl, and I can't write public transportation. I'm sorry, you'd see right through it. It's one of the oldest cities. It used to be one of the largest at one point. You've got a tremendous amount of history. You've got the Underground Railroad that runs through it, or used to run through it. You've got those beautiful underground tunnels that really do exist.
Yes, indeed.
You've got a world-class zoo. It just goes on and on and on. It was one of the earlier cities, and it was important. It still is, but it was a mecca at one point, and you guys kept your architecture, which is, it's just wonderful to write about.
I was going to say, across the arc of the story of Rachel Morgan, this series, The Hollows, is The Undead Pool here at number 12, mm-hmm. heading towards the big finale and the mm-hmm. big number 13. And you have done a fantastic job for a non-native in finding all those special places here in Cincinnati to bring to light. You must have had fun doing some of the research.
I did. For a couple of years, I would come to Cincinnati for a week or so, and I would investigate the places that I would want to write about in the next book. And I'm a very tactile person. I need to get out of the car. I need to touch the ground. I need to smell the air. I need to see what trees are growing there and how the bushes are growing. And it filters into the writing. I'm not really descriptive in my writing, but every now and then I'll do a paragraph and that really puts you right there. And you have to be in a place in order to do that.
So beyond the eye rolls that you've gotten for mentioning Cincinnati, since the series has been out, have you noticed any more positive feedback about the city?
Yes, especially when I'm in Cincinnati. I love signing in Cincinnati because you guys are so appreciative. You know you have a nice place to be and live. And when somebody outside steps in and says, yes, I agree, this is all the things that are great about you, they really respond to that.
Is there anything about Cincinnati that you haven't found a way to put in the book, something that you wanted to put in the book?
I just recently found out there was an issue with a trolley line, and that was something that I wished I would have known about because I would have put that in, but I found out too late. You know, the last one's written. I did, you know, the copy edit before I got on that plane yesterday. But there's that, and, you know, just little things. You never, as a storyteller, you can never get everything in that book that you want. But as long as the ending is happy, I'm going to be happy.
Speaking with Kim Harrison, the best-selling author of the Hollows series, focusing on demon witch Rachel Morgan and friends. The 12th book in the series, The Undead Pool, out in bookstores right now, and it's heading for the big conclusion with installment number 13, probably coming out sometime next year. But The Undead Pool here, entertaining readers quite a bit right now, I have to say. I've been spending a couple of sleepless nights finishing all
like
the books
that
goes
Thank
along.
You.
And we've talked before, when you've been in previously, I talked about my family, how, you know, here I'm middle-aged male.
You are my demographic, actually.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that's changing.
It's
because
a growing
there's middle-aged male, and I've turned a number of similarly aged family members onto it, but also my kid in her 20s. And
that's my bigger demographic.
My son in their teens. Yeah, I was going to ask, has that changed over the course of the series?
It is evolving. When I first started writing these 10 years ago, my demographic was, it hit a lot of people, but it was a narrow slice. It was romance readers loved it. They picked it up. They liked the romance in it. I'm not a romance writer. My books aren't paced like that. I kill off love interests, and I would get hate mail. So I kind of backed off a little bit on that. But from the romance readers, then I started getting the military guys emailing me and saying that they found it when they were on tour, and they, you know, it's a great escape because it's a woman kicking butt, coming home, washing up, and going out on the town looking good. I mean, they like it. It was fun. And now, as I'm, you know, going around and meeting the same people again and again at these signings, I'm seeing, like you said, first the mom, and then next year I see mom and her daughter. And then the next year, dad's in the background grinning, and he's got the camera, and he's like, I'm your biggest fan. I'm not getting in the picture, but I'm your biggest fan. And it's great. It's a really good feeling for an author to know that what she has created is bringing families together.
I wanted to ask how, when you began the series, how you wanted to qualify the Hollows as a book and how it's qualified now. Because I know one of your books, For a Few Demons More, one of them, the series was the Barnes & Noble top pick in 2013 for Best Paranormal Fantasy mm-hmm. of the Decade. Congratulations, mm-hmm.
Thank you.
By the way.
Thank you.
I've seen Paranormal Fantasy, Supernatural, I'm trying to remember what the second
There's
word was.
Paranormal
there.
Romance.
Paranormal Romance. Mm-hmm. I've seen it quite often. How do you qualify? I mean, how do you view it?
I would love to be viewed as a lady of fiction. And usually they will shelve my books in either with horror, which surprises me, or fiction generally. And I like that. I'd like to be thought of as a lady of fiction. Anything that has paranormal in it, urban fantasy is also another big tag that people are looking for. I don't like to be pigeonholed, but sometimes it's nice because it's easier to find the books you like or the books you might like. So, you know, it's up for grabs. I don't know what they're calling it now.
It does jump around. Well, in the last book, Ever After, it mainly focused on the demons and the alternative universe, the ever after, in parallel to our quote unquote real life here in Cincinnati. This one focuses, the new one, The Undead Pool, on vampires.
Yes, yes. The last couple books, I promised the readers that I would get back to that Ivy and Rachel thread that I had to drop a couple books back.
Ivy being Rachel's vampire friend.
Roommate. Yeah, yes. They share space. They both fight crime. You know, one has a bedroom and the other one has a bedroom across the hall. There was a possible relationship there, but I dropped it. Actually, I dropped it for an interesting reason. A lot of people thought I dropped it because as a writer, I wasn't brave enough to go into that same-sex couple area. Mm-hmm. But that's not why I dropped it. I dropped it because Ivy is a vampire, and I wrote my vampires that there was addiction and spousal abuse. You know, it's disguised as vampirism and a need for blood. But I'm basically talking about abuse and addiction. And although Ivy has made great, wonderful strides in where she's at, I didn't want to put Rachel in a position where she might have to battle that again. And so that's why I dropped that thread and turned her attentions towards Trent, her nemesis, who's been in since, you know, book one. And it turned out, yes, the Elven Prince. It turned out wonderful. But that's not why I dropped the thread. But what was the original question?
I was going to ask why you're picking on the vampires now.
Oh, the vampires. I had to get back to that thread because one of the original core ideas was that Ivy was afraid of losing her soul and that she always saw Rachel as being the one who would find a way to save her soul. And I promised the readers that I would find a way to do that. And if you, you know, pick the books apart, you can see where I've put in like three or four different ways that she might be able to use her magic to save Ivy's soul. Well, it turns out I didn't use any of those. I went a completely different direction. But that's in the next book. But I started to lay down the threads in this one because it was so important.
Let's talk about the titles. I'm interested in whether the titles start out as the idea for the book or the titles come after the book, because they kind of have that Clint Eastwood thread here. Let me see. Dead Witch Walking, mm-hmm. The Good, the Bad, and the Undead, Every Which Way But Dead, A Fistful of Charms, For a Few Demons More, The Outlawed Demon Wails, White Witch, Black Curse, Black Magic Sanction, Pale Demon, A Perfect Blood, Ever After, and now The Undead Pool.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Oh, I just like the Clint movies. I really do. I like his westerns. I like his Dirty Harrys. If it explodes on the movie screen, I'm there. I'm watching it. You know, I like thrillers. But I like the characters that Clint Eastwood plays. They're very recognizable. The titles are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I never would have picked this book up, but I like the title. And that's what a good title is supposed to do. And my editor and I decided to go with the Clint titles. About book three, I think it was, we decided to settle on it. And I've really enjoyed it because now, as long as it's got that Clint Eastwood theme, I'm happy. Because usually the author doesn't have much of a say in what gets on that cover. But this gives me a little edge.
Well, this is, I guess, edition 12 of the Hollow series,
yes.
13 on the way. Did you decide to end at 13 because you're running out of Clint Eastwood films?
No, I'm kidding.
Actually, it's contractual. I was going to end the books at 12. I had a floater book in my contract. And I had no intention of developing it into the 13th book until I started. I wanted to, you know, I've talked about where magic came from in the books all the way up through now. But it was always, they came from the ley lines. Oh, and there's a big black box after that. Well, I wanted to dig in a little deeper and explore that big black box and find out where magic actually came from. And that's kind of what I decided to do, but I needed two books to do it.
I want to go back to the Clint Eastwood
sure.
question for just a minute, because you said you and the publisher didn't decide until about book three or so
uh-huh.
that you were going to continue that theme. So why did it begin at the beginning? You know,
Why there?
Yeah.
Well, Dead Witch Walking actually is not a Clint Eastwood theme, but it was Western kind of thing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And then we did The Good, the Bad, and the Undead, which is a horribly long title. I don't know why they let me have that, except that nobody was watching the books at that time. You know, the publisher, it was just a little, you know, urban fantasy. They didn't even call it urban fantasy. It was just a little fantasy book out there. And so when you're small, you can, you know, get away with a lot of things you can't when you get bigger. And then we got to the third book, and it was Every Which Way But Dead, and it was like, you know, we gotta run with this.
It's taken off. Mm-hmm. It's taken off as it goes. Well, as I said, The Undead Pool, the new book, is the 12th in the series, which will end at 13. As an author, you've already written the 13th. Are you missing The Hollows already?
No, I am not. I had my year of mourning last year. So don't get me wrong. I did mourn the end of the series. And then I panicked. I panicked terribly. I panicked so much that I went out and I wrote two manuscripts, non-Hollows related, two manuscripts on spec, just so that I would feel confident that I had something that was going to at least hopefully match what I've done with The Hollows and you know, be this wonderfully, you know, complex, thick, yummy book that you'd want to read. So I panicked and I wrote two more manuscripts, and now I'm so excited about them that I don't want to say that I've forgotten about The Hollows, but I found a new boyfriend, so to speak.
I'm sure your husband will love to hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine it must really truly be a sense of loss, as much as you've developed this world and immersed yourself in it for the last 10 years or so.
It is. I did mourn. It was a bad couple of months while I was trying to finish it. And I found, for the first time, I found myself sitting at my desk thinking, I don't want to write the next chapter. And it wasn't because I didn't know what was going to happen. It was because it was almost the end. And it's hard to write the end. Now, I'm happy with the ending. I think the ending of the series is absolutely fabulous. I put a lot of attention and thought into it, and I can't wait for readers to read it. And then they're going to close the cover like I did and say, now what? Now what? It can't be over.
And we will begin to mourn, yes. And I have to say, the reader reaction has been amazing. If you go and look online.
The reviews are great. I'm really happy.
Incredible. And as so many people do with fantasy, how much they have immersed themselves in the world you've created. If you look at the Wikipedia entry under your name, or under The Hollows, actually, to see just the whole layout and how they've studied different types of magic and the different different characters and types of characters and who the characters are. It's amazing how much they've drilled down beyond all the drilling you've done already.
Yeah, it sure is.
That's going to be somewhat satisfying for a writer.
It is.
Is that scary, though, in any way?
It is, in a way, because eventually you start getting emails saying, I noticed you made a mistake here. And it's like, well, yeah, it's a work of fiction. There are going to be errors. I'm making this up.
Yes.
So it's not like I can go research it and make sure I get my facts right. I have to remember them. But it is gratifying to know that people enjoy what you've created so much that they make it a part of themselves and go beyond it.
Just real fun stuff to read, and the story goes on. And after reading The Undead Pool, can't wait for number 13 in the series. And always a pleasure to talk to you, Kim.
Well, thank you. This has been wonderful.
Kim Harrison, the author of The Hollows series about demon witch Rachel Morgan. It's set here in Cincinnati in, I guess, what you could call an alternate universe. You can learn more about Kim Harrison and The Hollows series and the new book, the 12th in the series, The Undead Pool, available in bookstores right now by visiting our website, wvxu.org. Cincinnati Edition, I'm Mark Purcell.